You could say that ordinary consciousness is frequently punctuated by familiarity. And familiarity is the nature of orientation to present experience. You could say we drop out of having a vital and interesting relationship with present experience because we're dwelling in conformity, predictability. We have an orientation that's somehow comfortable, familiar to us. And that's the realm of, you know, boredom, planning, distraction. It's virtual mind, living in fantasy. So it's good to have kind of a, what would you call it, a marker. When you're considering your experience, and if it's feeling somehow familiar to you, comfortable perhaps, then most likely that's, right, the movement of memory, the movement of of not paying attention, which, so then living in virtual mind persists. We negotiate and navigate and complain and wonder and entertain ourselves through this lens of virtual mind. And somehow we have learned or been conditioned or who knows to actually brace or resist against disorientation. We think disorientation is bad. Disorientation is a sign of poor functionality, political incorrectness, poor social graces. So we shun disorientation and lean into familiarity. Orientation of self. And that's what we call the life. That's where we dwell most often, you could say. And when we're living through the familiar zone or virtual mind or fantasy, then we're not open to the scintillating richness of, you could say, momentary evaporative experience. Because we're functioning through the lens of familiarity, accusation, presumption, pattern recognition, form. So behaviorally, we're dull. The senses are dull. Quality of observation is dull. The way we treat our partners can be dull because we're looking through memory. We're looking through form. We're looking through orientation. These interludes are useful to the extent that they can conjure, perhaps deliver, invite one's awareness into disorientation. And it's a subtle disorientation. It's not like being blotto on alcohol or, you know, perhaps some other kind of medicine. You could say it's an appreciation of, well, you don't really know quite where you are, quite when, quite what time it is, when it is, how you got to a place, why you're in a place, what you hope to gain from being in the place, how you're going to wrap up, you know, the lessons or the discussion or whatever it is to be of some utility to you in the future. So you could say you become disoriented, which is another useful metaphor, is when you become innocent. You don't have a raging social agenda, a raging political agenda. No point needs to be made. So you can rest in a certain kind of innocence. No demand is being placed on your present experience. And in you could say, practicing that art, playing with it, you can feel yourself unhooking from conformity, familiarity, and orientation, and beginning to pick up the scent, the sensation, the intimacy, the rich vibratory vitality of presence itself. And what's fun about presence is you don't need to explain, justify, measure, compare, convince, supplicate, manipulate. All of these, you could say, habits of virtual mind. Hi. That are always running interference patterns with your, let's say, the enjoyment of your present experience. All of those habits can be put to bed. Lullaby them away. And now you're fresh. Undefended. You're not in the loop of having to process, right, experience, either lovely experience or disappointing experience. You don't have to process anything. And you begin to feel the, what would you call it, the inner sanctum of the vibratory nature of experiencing. And you're not framing it through the body, through the mind, through expectation, through attention seeking, through, you know, behavioral affliction. Space. You have all of this miracle of space, which is not a container, right? Not a volume. Space is a metaphor for just availability, openness itself. You don't place any demand on the world, on the objects of the world, on other people, on financial markets, on your broker, on your chiropractor. You don't place any demands on anyone or anything. So practicing and playing around with these things, you become acquainted with a palpable, felt, non-imaginary, quality, aperture of being. this disorientation is lovely. It's nourishing. It's playful. It's immersive. You place no demand on it. It places no demand on you. It's of the nature of a bottomless subtlety. You could say it's empty of content, empty of objects, and yet it's felt as a profound fullness. You see, so the movement of rumination, which is the movement of distortion, right? Rumination thought is distortion because it's appearing apparitionally, it's appearing virtually. Everything that your mind assigns meaning to is just the assignment of conditioned or arbitrary meaning. It's not actual. So you can feel yourself free from the reflex, the habit of pattern recognition and meaning assignment. It doesn't mean that thoughts stop. It's really that your attention goes to the texture of fullness. And so your attention is not hijacked by thought. You don't invest in thought. So impulses arise because that's what thought is, right? It's a, call it a neuronal impulse, an impulse from the music of the spheres. The source is not important. But because you're so engaged in your inner affability, you don't trace the thought. You don't follow the thought. You don't jump on the wagon of thinking. And so the impulse may still be present, but you're not seeking to derive meaning or orientation from thinking. So that's a shift in the geometry or content and context of awareness itself. Where in the, you know, commonly during the so-called day, or for we humans that are drunk with objects, we're living in the imagination of temporality and spatiality, as if there is actually a world that exists independent of awareness itself, in which we are scurrying about like hamsters or mice or some other rodent, large and small, you know, to get our stuff done. And then, you know, scurry to the next appointment. Or the next, in our case, you know, roof. Right? The roof of home, the roof of work, right? The roof of the grocery store, the roof of the automobile. Right? We pretty much, you know, run from roof to roof. Unless we're on a nice walk, in which case, the sky is our roof. Which is exposing our heads to outer space.
And apparently a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Like one cloud weighs like a lot, apparently.
Oh, I bet. Clouds are probably pretty heavy.
80 elephants.
Wow, one cloud would be 80 elephants. God, if it starts raining elephants, man. Holy shit. Or even elephant poop. That's how you know the elephants are about to fall. Hi.
Are elephants vegetarian at least?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good, yeah. Sure, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Elephants are vegan except when they're nursing.
Oh, and they mouth and they nurse? I mean, what do they
do? Well, they're drinking their mother's milk.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the mama.
So I, it's pretty simple.
Pretty basic stuff.
It's real basic, man.
Simple, not easy.
Simple, not easy. Yeah. Yes. I mean, discovering that it's possible to be nourished by awareness itself, free from objects, free from subject, free from time, is kick-ass.
Outrageous.
It's really outrageous. It's outrageous. These people should be arrested.
It's heresy. It's seen that way.
I know it. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's not understood.
It's against the republic we stand for.
Yeah. It's not understood. It's not grasped so much of the time.
It seems to be a sinking into objects and sounds and sensations, like. It seems to be sort of like a surrender and sinking in right into the center of that.
Oh, yes.
Like you don't go above it or ignore it. It's like you just let it happen.
Yes.
And kind of it comes to get you through every pore.
It does come to get you. It does. It comes to get you through every pore. Yeah. Yeah, when you feel, you know, the metaphor of every pore, You're diffuse. Your attention is diffuse. Your attention is available. It's non-directed. It's non-bracing.
It's kind of like you're eaten alive by objects. What you used to call objects, they sort of have you. Because you're in the middle of it.
Well, yes, but you might notice that you know, what we're referring to as objects, and it's easy to misunderstand that word. I mean, it can be used, right, with a lot of nuance and variability. So this texture of presence, this inhabiting or immersive nature of availability is not dependent on objects. So even the presence of experiencing, whatever it is or isn't, does not become inebriated with objects.
Just like a shifting through different modes in some sense, and there are definitely some modes that just drop in whenever they drop in where there are no objects.
Yeah.
At all. But there, you know, then there's other ones where everything's very objectified and whatever.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean, you can reflect on events that occurred prior to now and come up with a very cogent report.
Well, even now, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, in a sense, I can play with a bunch of different, all of that right now.
Yeah. Even the, it's very strange. I mean, even the most, you know, innocent and sincere reporting on present experience has to create, right, some kind of boundary field or objectification or subjectification to be able to report on as something that's either happened or is happening. It's very subtle. I mean, in order to create something that has happened or is happening, you must, right, assign meaning, discernment, comparison, texture, memory to a degree. Right, to even suggest that something is occurring.
That's highly prized. It's the creative
yeah.
Outspring. You know, it's creative writing, you know, it's all about that, or anything. It's like, what do you see this? You know, there's a box with something in it, and, right, you know.
Yes.
Tell me what's in it. You know,
be sure.
But it seems to me it's not the objects. That's neither here nor there. It's the construing of something with the objects.
Well, they're the same. They're the same. There are no objects without construing.
Well, seeing an object, are you saying that seeing an object is really no different than having opinions about the object?
Yes.
Everything's construed.
Yes, it has to be construed.
Completely.
Yeah. Because you don't know what seeing is.
Apprehending the object, is that maybe a little more difficult?
That's another form of construe.
Is it?
Sure. Yeah.
Observing the object? I mean,
still. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, what the hell, man? I mean, come
that's
on.
Right.
Construed. There's no.
That's right. What the hell is a good question. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're looking at, dare I say, profound present attenuation to, call it phenomena or experiencing, at hand. And in order to have a report, or to apprehend, mm-hmm. or to measure or compare, or point to an object, there has to be...
a point to.
Yeah. Yeah, there has to be, right? You have to create, you have to construe. So when we look at...
Is it just because there's a separation? So as soon as you're construing...
Construing, I mean, is separation.
It's the very bottom line,
yes.
of separation.
That's what you're playing with. You're looking at the lowest or least common denominator or bottom line or genesis, right? Genesis point, not that it's a point, or Genesis occurrence of so-called separation, which is construing. And that's remarkably subtle.
Yeah, that there either is an object or isn't an object, or that there's... And you're just relating, making up relations to things.
Yes, right.
Describing them and then...
Yes.
Whatever, cataloging them. And
yes. Yeah. So can awareness, as in right about here, right about now, dare I say, enjoy itself without construing?
Although all this stuff is going on, see, possibly, whatever.
What stuff? What possibly?
This stuff.
But see, this what? Stuff. What? Okay.
So stuff is going on.
Okay,
just
stuff
keep
is going on.
Really vague and then
yeah,
vague.
Right.
Really, really.
But is stuff going on?
Well, I guess that's the mystery. I mean, that is the mystery of. What's between apprehension and non-apprehension? I mean, what is there when there's no apprehension?
This. It's the same. This is the same. Samsara and nirvana are one. Emptiness is form. Form is emptiness. This is it. Really.
But we're all kind of tilted towards the form.
That's what we're playing with. We're just looking at, you could say, the reflex, conditioned or otherwise, to lean into apprehension or construement, whatever the word might be, to see how objects and therefore subject are born, as in instantaneously. And because... creation is appears to have a persistent nature, though empty, persistent, the invitation to remain under the influence of construing duality is nonstop.
Could you say that's the source of creation? That point where construence occurs?
Well, sure, if you're into creation... Why not? Blame that.
I just wanted to stay as long as possible.
Well, this is creative, but not necessarily creation.
Well, I mean, you know, any idea is a creation.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing or anything.
No.
I'm just saying it's another blossoming of whatever.
It's mitochondrial, man. It's a Krebs cycle in your face.
If you consider for a moment that what they're doing with the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider.
Oh, yes. Right.
They are not finding
LHC.
God damn it. All those billions spent.
They've run out of things.
No matter how fast they speed it up.
Yeah. And smash.
It's exactly what's happening.
Well, they've already found the God particle.
There is no difference. No difference.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the reason you can't find anything here is because this isn't anything.
It disappears as soon as it appears.
I mean, you know, there are physicists that I would argue could do understand this and perhaps even articulate it. Hi. But that's curious, right? I mean, the confidence that we place in objects,
mm-hmm.
we insist that this is an existent, manifest, phenomenally vital universe in which we appear as an object,
mm-hmm.
as a body and as a mind. And so we send our probes, whether microscopically or macroscopically, telescopically or otherwise, into the plasma of this apparently independently existent universe to see what we can get back. And what do we get back? Well, just more mirrors of possibility, more mirrors of implication. We don't actually find anything.
Anything.
But you can send a lunar module and land on the moon, or Mars, or, you know, check out moons of so-called planets, or the Voyager, which is the farthest presently traveling object created by man, left the influence of the solar space, a couple years ago? You know? It got out of the solar system. It left the influence of the plasma of the sun. I mean, it's... Talk about meditation. The fucking thing is quiet, man. I don't know what it's picking up or whether we're still receiving any signals from it, but, I mean, Deep Space Nine, right? Like, baby, rocks out here. Takes a while to get here, but once you're here, man, it's like pretty blissful. So when we use accelerators or other forms of probing into the so-called physical plasma to get feedback, what do we find? We find the beatitude of the present experience expressing through implication, nonstop implication that never actually delivers the destination, even though you might age and then close. But you could say all throughout the trajectory of whatever this is, animating as a bio force like a human, you've got, it looks like you had a conception, maybe, you know, a birth, maybe, and ultimately a very pleasant, blissful passing. But whatever this is or isn't, right, hasn't been affected at all, because it's not anything.
It's tough to wrap your mind around that.
I mean, it's the best. It's really the best.
You have, it appears to me that you have to stay right on the tip of that.
Yeah.
To sense it and to get it. That there isn't anything happening.
Yeah, I know.
Every fucking moment we got here, it disappears.
Yeah.
As fast as it can show up.
Yeah, faster maybe sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, really. You can turn around and not see your ass. That's how quick it's disappearing. Whoa, my ass is gone. This is very curious.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever this is won't quit. But that does not insist or demand that it is a independently existing, secularly or spiritually existing, right, universe of stuff that was born with something referred to as a Big Bang. you know, that may be running out of, you know, vital energy and will, in some number of billions of years, whatever those are, go dark. I mean, that's a curious prediction. So if you're not twisted with conjuring, twisted with apprehension, you're this, which of course you've always been. Good luck not being that. So you're not an object, you're not a human, you're not a subject. You're not consciousness. You're not awareness. You're, you know, at worst, you're a sensate plasma of implication. All of our emotion, all of our stories, all of our plans, all of our wealth and lack of wealth, disappointments and peak moments is a plasma of implication. Felt profoundly, felt profusely. So our identity as a person, as born, as an object in a volume called, you know, the universe, is really just a distortion. No wonder there's suffering, because egoic identity with body, mind, and birth and temporality is a distortion of reality. And that distortion is unsatisfying, confused.
Severely lacking.
It is. It is severely lacking. Even if you have money in the bank. I mean, why does the 1/10 of the 1% want any more than they've got? I mean, can't they give us a break on the siphoning? It's like they're completely committed to siphoning. You know, next war with Mexico, next war with Iran, next war with whomever, right? The stock market goes whoop, whoop, whoop because we're having a currency war with the Chinese, you know? I'm like, can't have it. Don't you guys have enough? Can you chill on the siphoning and let's be hippies for the next decade? Why don't we just play Grateful Dead music in the square and everyone will smoke doobies and we can just chill out from all the siphoning and all the war. And the police can put down their weapons and stop arresting people and you can empty the prisons of, let's say, nonviolent offenders. Right? Right? I mean, can we get, you know... Can we ask the fucking Rockefellers or the Rothschilds or the Bilderberg fuckers and say, can we get a decade of a little PAX? Would you mind a decade of PAX so you don't have to keep fucking siphoning everything to the point of destroying the species, you motherfucker idiots? How's that for a spiritual comment? You know? Okay, so we all go down. Like Billy Joel said, we will all go down together. Yes, we will all go down together. That's where this is going. So it's probably a good idea to get enlightened as fast as possible, because if you're trying to suck any joy out of this from a body point of view, oh, there's going to be a lot of disappointment. Yeah, once Trump gets done with that wall. Fucking idiot goobers from hell. There's a lot of them. Unbelievable. but you know, that's their engineering, right? That's how they've been designed to get maximal joy from life, is siphon the wealth out of the entirety of the population and then, you know, do a mass extinction event.
And then?
Do it again.
What?
Repeat. No. Then repeat. Yeah, that's all they've got. What? Let's have a war.
Where is it going?
Repeat. That's why they do it, because they're so frustrated. They're so anally retentive. All that wealth, all that power, all that control, all that, you know, surveillance, all of that militarization gives them nothing. And they can't stop.
What they resent most of all are the so-called entitlements. That's where they, that's the term they would use. Because, I mean, I've had this argument with a very wealthy friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And they all, that's what it really comes down to.
They really get pissed off.
Yeah,
it's democratic, like, social entitlements.
Yeah, a free ride type of thing.
It's a free ride.
And it's coming from me, you know, because, you know, worked hard to get. I started as, you know, lower middle class.
Are you still friends with this person?
You know, it's a tenuous friendship.
Yeah. I mean, everyone suffers from entitlement. The mega wealthy suffer from entitlement. The very poor suffer from entitlement.
It's just branded differently.
You know, entitlement is nothing other than this revelation of turning this into something. Where does the entire portfolio of call it human nature, the disappointing aspects of human nature come from? They come from this distortion.
You have to invest great belief and credibility in the distortion.
Yes.
That's the second part of that.
Well, comes with. It's on tap, right? It's embedded. I mean, the distortion is also that there's investment in that distortion.
Well, there's a cultural embedment. You're born into it.
Yes, it appears so. Of course.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It may have been perceived differently. You know, 12,000 years ago.
Yeah, when there was more oxygen in the atmosphere. Yeah. That's right.
Circulating.
The Satya Yuga, something like that, where everyone was like, this is pretty fucking stone.
And it nevertheless disappeared too.
It looks that way.
The fucking up is part of this game.
It is. Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
It's messy. It's messy. Yeah. Perfect, messy, no quarrel. So as we run agendas, we're usually running agendas, right, from the perspective of being a creature, being an object, or being a subject. And we're running these agendas emotionally and psychiatrically and as concerns, you know, wellness, security. That's running agendas. Or we're entertaining ourselves with amore or disappointment, blame and shame. This is just entertaining itself nonstop. And we take this idolatrous entertainer to be real,
mm-hmm.
to be the arbiter of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. No wonder we drink and spend good money on football. We're entertaining a rather, dare I say, radical appreciation of the present texture of what reality might be. Obviously, you can't say what it is because anything said is just, it's just already, you know, yeah, not quite. Right? It's always not quite because this is too bizarre. Not quite. Sounds good, not quite.
It's beyond understanding.
Always. Well, even understanding is not important. You know, I mean,
it's indifferent.
Yeah, I mean, like, understanding is something that a human might have or not have depending on their IQ and what's being presented to them. It's like, understanding? Yeah. So, beyond, how about everything? You know, you could say its nature is just always beyond, mm-hmm. persistently, transcendently beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but converts beyond everything that you ask for a thing. God, I can't come up with the whole thing.
Fair enough.
I am. Isn't it?
We need a chat.
Beyond everything.
Mm.
Blah, 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 blah.
Chat room?
Yeah, yeah.
Could
be. Yeah.
I've made them wrong.
It could be. We have an answer from Australia. Oh,
yeah, there's an answer from Australia popping up on the screen. That Bible verse is John 27, when Jesus said, one must learn, why not, to, let's say, recall your vital energy, which is this presence. Recall this presence from objects, from abstraction, from hypotheticalism, from what-ifs. You recall. Right? Just like the crappy automobile that blows up if you hit it, if you tap it in the back. You recall your awareness from objects. Not that difficult to do, really. I mean, you shift from feeding the neocortex, because awareness has to feed the neocortex for there to be apprehension or construing. That's how meaning assignment occurs, right? So the neocortex is fine, no quarrel, just get out and shut the door behind you.
So
and lock it.
Awareness itself is one step too far. Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, I mean, it's a clumsy metaphor, as all metaphors are, because we're awareness. We're using awareness as a vitality of yours, which is an object that you can do something about. And that's fine. I mean, there's a certain practicality in that, just to make a point. But as you actually start playing with it, it becomes way more subtle than the gross accusation that awareness is an object, that you have the capacity of agency, and that then you can, right, tune your awareness to a location, whether that location is internal or external or whatever. But as a clumsy metaphor, it's like before apprehension or accusation or meaning assignment occurs, not that there's any before, because all there is this happening as a simultaneity, but if we're playing around with it in a kind of a time frame, before accusation occurs, there is the vitality of irrefutability.
Outboard.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what we use awareness to say, why do I know this is happening? Why the fuck should something be happening? And why must I know about it? Right? We're saying that's awareness. Even though there is no awareness, not as an object, not as a subject, right? And yet, all there is awareness.
It's like one getting close to the speed of light where everything gets, really massive or something, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, awareness.
That's where you meet Spock.
Yeah. awareness, I mean, really, it can mean anything, it seems like.
Duh. Like consciousness. The absolute.
So when anybody, Krishnamurti or,
yep,
or you name it,
yeah,
talks about awareness.
If you could, you know, I had a vision once of Krishnamurti and Sai Baba and Nirsagadatta and Paramahansa Yogananda playing cards, laughing their heads off at us dumb fucks.
Yeah. Just like the dog picture of them.
That's right, the dogs playing cards, yeah. All the saints and gurus were playing cards going, shh, man, those guys are pretty dumb.
That'd be a good Photoshop.
Really down there. Right. Yeah, I really snookered him with that awareness shit. Yeah, I really fucked him up by calling it the absolute. Har, har, har. Presence. Noticing. Traveling lighter. Har, har, har. What a crock of shit. But you got to go somewhere, you know what I mean? If you're having the conversation, it's like we got to pretend that we have a fish net or a lasso or something where we can, you know, kind of scoop in a bunch of clams, a bunch of piss clams, you know, out of the sand, and then have some kind of fun concept about it and just watch it disappear. Otherwise, you may as well go to a Vipassana retreat and sit around quietly. You know, I don't actually think those work as well, but you can go there. These guys, that video that I sent out, these are lovely guys. They're just a little foolish, I think.
What a bunch of...
Did you watch any?
Yeah. I tuned into it.
You see?
Nobody just slammed their ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I couldn't.
It was just way self-serving fucking fools.
That's where I was going with it. I was waiting to figure out if someone would come up with something cogent, delightful, charming, humorous, insightful, and it was just a pile of indulgence.
They're looking at their belly button.
It was just a pile of indulgence, and I'm like,
I like the guy with the tattoo.
Yeah, they're all lovable. There's no question. But there was just, I was like, something's not right here. They seem to be saying what you'd expect them to be saying, and, you know, they're on the right track, and they've got kind of, you know, funny, laughing, contemplative looks, and speaking with a little bit of authority about shit, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, but...
I'm waiting.
And it just, I'm like, I don't think so.
They haven't done the necessary work.
Yeah.
They're still, they got the attitude. They're not deep enough.
That's what I was missing.
They turned it into another thing. It's like, now there's this, and the reason you're suffering, and then we have a solution, and this is it.
Yeah.
And it's like, now
yeah, there's
and
no,
you're just back in the circle.
That's yeah. A lot like the Sig
circle.
Oh, yeah. Right. Same Bart group. Marshall, Enlightenment Lieutenant 101. Yeah. Hi, Bart. It's like those marionette bobbleheads, you know?
What was that? Is that what that was?
I missed out on the video conference, but I did hear the tape.
With Peter on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations, sir.
That's right.
You know, I'm glad you're stimulating somebody to medicular.
That's right.
You know, you guys have fun.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, right.
That's
if you've got a pituitary, if you have a pituitary, you may as well diddle with it.
Play with it.
When you were talking, I'm like, this guy is so full of shit, but I'm wondering, whatever he's talking about, I'm like, that sounds kind of... Like, I want them. I'll take a session.
So when I wrote to those guys, yeah. I was, you know, I mean, I was inspired by them, and I was just in this cranky, bizarre mood, and we went to see a, you know, movie, crazy movie, that American Ultra movie with Jesse Eisenberg. He's like a super spy that's, you know, turned back on, and yeah, it was. I mean, it was campy and
spy. We were writing.
So I was, you know, I was just in a swoon, right?
You were like a comic book character.
Yes, it was very comic booky. Yeah, right. So then I wrote them saying, basically, you know, I want to love you guys, but you're just missing something, and I can't. You just, what the fuck? Fuck off. You should just fuck off. And I figured these guys are enlightened, so they don't care about being told to fuck off. Even if you're not enlightened, you'd be wise not to care if someone tells you to fuck off. Right? It's like, thank you. Yeah, you're right. So one of the guys, Lewis, the one with the tattoos, he wrote back saying, great advice. Yeah. And I was like, boom, boom, boom. You know, Lewis has got it going on. But then the guru,
oh my God.
This guy Joey, who's the guru of the guru of the others, I think. It sounded like there was a certain kind of hierarchy there. Joey was the one that sent me back this big personhood email.
Right.
You know, I'm like, Joe, I would never have expected this from you, but now it's quite clear you're a dumb fuck idiot living as a person, and you've got a bunch of shit to defend.
What did I ever do to you?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe he was in a bad mood when he read it, but I was like, whoa, there's a guy who's still very happy to think that he's a person. And even happier still to be insulted by an idiot. And then defend it. And I'm like, okay. I was like, thanks, Joe. You know, I realized there was something not quite right, and there you go. There it is. Thanks a lot. I feel vindicated, which is all I want to do from day to day. Anyway, it's fun. It's curious.
I think it's delightful that there's some fish swimming around in this stew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you sure don't see it too often. You know what I mean?
I don't. I you know, it's only, you know, you find things and you clue us in on some of this stuff, so you see some odd things, but mostly what I see is pretty bland.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's what we find when there's distortion. When there's distortion of the fundamental primacy of a liquid reality, we find bland. Mediocrity. Self-importance.
I've developed a bullshit meter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a filter that you just cannot penetrate.
Yeah. Is it Bluetooth, or do you have to stick it up the subject's ass? To get the right volt meeting. Reading.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Really.
You have to stick it up their ass while stimulating that little thing.
The pituitary. Yeah, that's it. Look, put this up your ass and stimulate your pituitary. We'll see whether you're full of bullshit or not.
So why do you have to name the pituitary or the pineal gland? I mean, I don't know. How the hell do we know what to stimulate?
Yeah.
Are we going back to
the look and find?
Yeah. Well,
we probe everything.
The sphenobacillar synchondrosis, which is where the sphenoid and the occiput meet and bridge and breathe. That's, you know, the, what is it called, cella or cella turcica or something. I don't know the medical pronunciation well. And that is the seat of the pituitary gland, midbrain, behind the eyes, at the crank between the sphenoid and the occiput. And the yogis, you know, they cut the bottom of their tongue so they can whip it back there and tickle that fucker. Smart yogis do.
You can use instead, you know, a little tickler.
Oh, yeah, you probably can. I read too many comic books. Yeah, and when you do Sanskrit, and perhaps other languages, when you do Sanskrit, and which is a very, right, tympanic language, you know, so is Pali, right? Those languages that are very tympanic are using the tongue, right, and the soft palate to create snap and tap sounds, and that's stimulating. Yeah. Well, but, you know, brownie brittle is pretty good, too. Yeah, if your tongue can't reach your pituitary, just have some brownie brittle and forget all about it. Use what you have. Use what's at hand.
I'm going to assert that there's an unnoticed and unrecognized benefit out of these meetings and this conversation.
Yep. Yeah.
And it is that this is really the only worthwhile thing to use language for.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why I'd always say that.
Describe the undescribable or something.
I've run into my landmark people.
Yeah.
Who,
oh my God,
still think they're going to create something.
Yeah.
With language.
Yeah, that's total nausea.
They absolutely don't get it.
No.
Well, they've made a commitment.
Well, I think that it's a device and a tool to have some impact on the universe.
Mm-hmm.
What actually is, in our employ of it, it's used to take the pants off, to cut the legs off of reality.
Yeah.
So you just allow it to happen.
Well, yeah.
Nothing all fucking
blood. It's, you've got you by the short and curlies anyway.
Yeah.
It's not waiting around for you to allow doodly-doo. But yeah, but see, that's the myth. If you're a creature, If you're an object and absolutely confused and living with an unrecognizable subconscious distortion, you think creation is a way out.
Right.
So language, Higgs boson, you know, dynamite, atom splitting.
What is my purpose?
Yeah, what is my purpose? Really.
That are created out of language.
Yeah. Yeah, 7-point-something billion are going, what's my purpose? And, you know, Eckhart Tolle up in the sky is going, well, let me check. I'll get back to you. Yeah. What's your purpose? To become methane. Go back to your original face, methane.
Call it the methane method.
Yeah, the methane method. I like it. This is key. When it's possible, if it's possible, we create a vocabulary, a shared vocabulary, a shared interest in retreating from the implication of creature,
mm-hmm.
retreating from the implication of person, of knowledge, of accomplishment of any kind, attunement of any kind. A different flavor arises. A different texture can arise. You know, even when someone sells unlimited possibilities, you still want a practical possibility to occur. Having nonstop unlimited possibilities that don't actually become anything is not that satisfying to you. Oh, unlimited possibilities. Well, here, let me place my order. Right? Because I want those fucking unlimited possibilities to turn out to wealth and health. And, you know, a better wardrobe, and Jesus, my car needs, you know, a new radio. That's what I want. That's what I want the unlimited possibilities to become. Something of utility and practicality or security or, you know, creature comfort for the likes of me. How about if all you've got is unlimited possibilities, but they never become anything? How satisfying is that? Duh. What does any implication turn into except more iteration of implication? If something actually happened to you prior to this moment, you'd be overwhelmed with the inventory of experience since you were so-called born. If something actually happened, you couldn't function. You'd be like those people in that, you know, the show with the robot that cleaned up the debris and all the humans were floating around in the, right? You'd be fat, but not just physically fat like I am. You'd be like fat with the burden of experience.
Huh? I'm trying to remember the movie. Something
E. Wall-E. Yeah. So if something actually occurred to you prior to now, if it really did happen, you'd be paralyzed with, like, too much fucking shit happened to me, and I don't have any room for anything more to happen to me. But nothing actually did happen to you, so you're good to go. You're free. Which is true, because when they look for shit, what do they find? That this is looking for itself through the lens of implication that never goes anywhere, never becomes anything. So this refreshment is stranger and more demanding than we might let on. You are actually refreshed. I mean, completely refreshed. Completely refreshed. More refreshed than that, even. memories on tap, but you'll notice that memory seems to do its own thing. You think that you're the decider of what it is that you want to recall. I don't think so.
Eat something differently.
There's no way.
You're not the decider of what it is that you want to recall. And even if you're in an engineering condition or a creative condition, or you're making cold calls to get insurance appointments or whatever the hell you're doing, everything is occurring radiantly, spontaneously through the apparatus, which is no apparatus at all, pure magic. You come in and claim memory, choice, decision, focus after the fact. You're being played. Absolutely being played. How did we get to the moon? Magic. How did we get back? More of same. And yet, the you could say the drop down from radiant bliss that turns into blueprints and sketches and computers and engineering and fabrication and welding and fuel and giant machinery riding on train tracks to create, right, something that can leave Earth's gravitational field and drop a few monkeys or naked apes on the local satellite. The effort is incomprehensible. But that same incomprehensibility is operating when you mow your lawn. We'll pay someone else to do it. That's better yet. Yeah, you reach into your back pocket, you get a piece of leather out, there's some like interesting smelling greenbacks in there, you hand them to some guy, and your lawn gets cut. And you're like, I just went to the moon. And back. It's a lot of fun being disembodied euphoria, if you can take it. If you can't take it, it's not that much fun. What is yoga? Yoga is learning how to take it. That's all. All of it. All yoga is learning how to take it, so that once it dawns on you that you are in disembodied euphoria, you can take it. Otherwise, you'll spin back into apprehension, just to avoid yourself.
Run like hell.
Run like hell. Where do we think we're going when we ruminate in dramatic distractions? Who are we running away from? Disembodied euphoria. It's got to be fun if ever you reach, you know, a luscious place where you just don't give a fuck about you. Not as the person, not as the creature, not as the body, not as the owner of accoutrements. You just don't give a fuck about you. Is that free enough? You don't have to tell anybody how you used to suffer and why or what happened that now it appears you're suffering less. Nobody cares. They really don't. You just create another field of distortion, another field of illusion, another field of envy. It's bullshit. someone says, so, what's happening in your experience? I mean, what's the only honest answer you can give? I have no fucking idea. Which is great. That's the relief and the release from that this needs to be about something.
It's almost like a lot of fun to, like, it kind of in your head be like, I have no fucking idea, but then you just spew a bunch of bullshit knowing that you actually have no idea.
That's what these meetings are.
No, but it's fun. Like, it could be really fun to do that. You know, it doesn't have to, like, stop or be an issue. It's just like, whatever, yeah. You know.
What do you do with the night sky, Sandra? Well, we have no fucking idea what's happening, but we spew bullshit. And you get a chuckle once in a while.
But I feel like I just, that's all day, every day.
Yes.
It's just like.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, behavior, conditioning, affability, cooperation, all the things that we have to negotiate with, either within ourselves or with someone else. Right? Even if you're doing flowers in the back room, you don't have any client contact, you still have to, you know, behave a certain way. Cooperate. Mm-hmm. Focus. Mm-hmm. Comes with. Isn't it curious that as the aroma of nourishment is felt by you, as you find yourself just organically withdrawing from hysteria and resting in availability itself, wanting ends. Distractibility, justification, wanting,
story,
just psh. You're still on tap. If you feel like you need your personality to make a point about something to someone, you know, you'll be right there. With great fervor and
yeah, all the usual whatever.
Great fervor and focus of energy.
You're like, wow, I'm good.
Yeah, really, wow, I didn't know I had that in me. Yeah, I ordered a Burger King burger with like extra onions and da 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 da. I made it really clear in the microphone. Got what I wanted. Yeah.
No, it's not that way. I'm just so tired.
He's just lying.
We had this guy on the floor doing slacker yoga. He needs to get home and go to bed.
Yeah, that's right.
Slacked out, man.
I'm all slacked out. I'm all slacked out.
See ya. Get those vegetables. Get them.
Get them. Smash them up.
Smash those vegetables. Smash them. Press them. Oh yeah, have some of that. Open the other one too.
Yeah.
If you like that flavor better. Oh yeah, no, go for the talking.
Those are good. They look weird. They're loud and crunch them. I guess I'm going to try a toffee.
I think so, now that it's open. Thanks, Pat.
You're welcome. My worm friends need to be fed.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Somebody open the toffee?
They're like, my worm friends are like, toffee.
Oh, yeah, all my... That's
so good.
All my worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love toffee. Coffee. Rich brownie taste with a cookie crunch.
Somebody's got it going on. Mm-hmm. I am convinced enlightenment is not possible without speech. I don't care what anybody says.
Like, I did actually have
you are going to get a lot more people now.
No, I did think so many more.
My name is Shukadev Goswami, and I'm here to tell you that enlightenment is not possible without sweets. Get with the program.
I knew it was bad when we get set up to do an ad hoc fuse meeting, and it was
That was so funny. We were gone for so long. We're like, what the fuck is she doing?
I was waiting to get the thing.
I know. But we were just like, okay.
I'm like,
I bet you she's eating it while she's serving it. And that takes a long time if you eat it. It takes a long time to fill the bowl if you're eating it.
Yeah. We would have signed up first, but the ice cream came. Mm-hmm.
That's all we do is we wait for the URL.
What do you do to eat snacks while waiting for the URL?
It's so delicious to be free of knowledge, free from knowledge, and free from the reflex that attempts to, right, conjure or apprehend knowledge.
Human knowledge, or I don't know what.
Well,
I mean, what do you mean by knowledge?
Any representation.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Luckily,
yes.
Speaking for myself.
Good.
I have no particular education, so I didn't waste all that time getting that education.
Nice. Yeah.
I didn't. And they kept calling me because I owe them $30,000, which turned out to be useful. Useless, I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you just, instead of paying them, just give them the knowledge back?
I'm not paying them or giving them their knowledge back, so they're losing on all fronts.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That'll teach them not to sell knowledge at a high price.
Young, unsuspecting kids.
Yeah, trying to enroll unsuspecting kids in knowledge.
They really are worse than drug dealers.
And then holding them financially accountable for it.
I know.
Don't you know they're just kids? They don't know what they're in for.
No.
Besides, the 0.1% have siphoned all the wealth away, and they can't get any jobs anyway.
Exactly.
God, you really got us coming and going, don't you? Coming and going, right, don't you?
Most people are very scared and they're loyal to that.
Yeah.
How long do you think the current political piece of tall grass is going to survive?
Makes me nervous sometimes.
Huh?
No.
The current what?
Tall grass, yeah.
Political tall grass.
I don't get it either.
Mr. Trump.
Tall grass.
In the world, you mean, or the whole shebang?
No, it's a Chinese metaphor.
Yeah.
That's why they can control billion people and don't have trouble.
Because they have
the tall grass gets cut off.
The chocolate or the coffee?
So you never say anything. You never say anything.
Whatever. This often when you
get that. You show yourself.
That's right.
So, after Kennedy got killed,
yeah.
Nobody stands up.
No, we're here.
It befuddles the right wing because they're so principled. You can't believe somebody will not act on their principles. You're not permitted.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, Trump is occupying an interesting position because he's independently financed and he brags about it.
Yep.
Not allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that.
Right, he's not allowed.
That's not permitted.
That's right.
So, as a 12 piece of grass,
yeah.
You know, I never talked to him.
Yeah.
Sooner or later.
Unless he was invited to a Bilderberg meeting that we don't know about, and, you know, they're saying, okay, you're next.
Yeah, that could be.
Right? You'll appear as the upstart, independently financed voice of nationalistic reason, and you'll clear the GOP field. You'll get the nomination.
No.
You know, and if he was invited to that meeting, he'd be like,
come
in.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting thing.
No.
The problem is that there's
that's not possible.
Even the Bush campaign.
It's possible.
All right, I'm becoming an assassin.
It's not good. You know
what?
We could become an assassin if he gets elected.
Oh, if you plan it, you learn how to shoot a gun.
Yeah, probably going to be not very good.
You know, we're chattel. We are all disposable chattel. Inconsequential disposable chattel that truly, you know, are here at the pleasure of forces beyond our imagination. You know.
And just happen to be in the right place on our planet. So it can look like we're having a good life.
Yeah, why not? If you trace history, despite all of the weird conflict and shit that's going on, this is kind of a golden age for some number of people. Relatively few, but some number of people. Yeah, this is a golden age.
I'm having a good time. You've been lucky. Shut up at the right spot. Nobody's shooting at you, for goddamn sure.
Not yet.
Yeah.
That's true. Not with guns, but...
Well, we went to see them. We went to the movies, and there was a sign at the theater that said, we have the right to inspect packages.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked the woman at the ticket counter, what's that about? Some gibberish about there being a film somewhere being distributed that is arousing anti-feminist sentiment. I'm not even sure what movie it is or something. Or she's made some comment that it's not in the news, but there have been, you know, instances or events at theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I didn't really quite get the justification for, yeah, something.
Mm-hmm.
So then we walk to hand the ticket in, and the woman that takes our tickets feels absolutely comfortable to invade Beth's privacy and examine her purse.
A small purse. Oh, man, was it full of snacks? I did fill it to
a snack. In line, and I thought, I always be like, honey, you got to change this.
What if there's people behind?
Well, you see, what happens is we become.
She was like really looking.
Would they
she was looking into her purse to go to a movie.
Like, wouldn't you just have?
Yeah.
We become accomplices to more or less illegal search and seizure to get into a movie. So when you look at how fascisms roll, they'll create false flag events or crises of violence or whatever, create fear and uncertainty, and then introduce the constituents to random, more or less illegal, search and seizure.
And just insane, like,
one small hop into your house.
Identity checks.
Small hop.
And, I mean, just to small get, hop. Like, a P.O. box today, I'm like, what do I need? Like, what if I didn't have a car or, like, a home, but I just wanted to get fucking mail? Like, you can't. It's not possible.
Really?
You've got to have all these credentials to get a P.O. box.
To get a P.O. box.
I'm, like, sitting there, like, I don't get it. I'm so, what does this have to do with a P.O.
Right.
box?
Yeah, so 911 turned out to be very effective.
Mm.
Homeland Security, NSA, illegal surveillance, right? Search and seizure, militarization of the police, homicidal mania on the part of the police throughout the country. I mean, these things are over the top for a, quote, democratic society. Mm-hmm. with a constitution and a bill of rights.
Well, that's essentially over.
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah, I know. No, it is over. Yeah.
You perpetrate the myth that exists.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's completely over. That's why it's good to have some, like, chocolate brittle between now and the day it all goes south.
I had a brush with that, if you're interested in a little story. I went into deep debt to American Express.
Yeah.
With a credit card.
Yeah.
And I just said, fuck it, I'm not paying it. And I bankrupted the corporation.
Right.
The fund. And they had decided to come after me. And endlessly, you know, gave me a bad rap of my credit.
Oh, sure.
They did everything they could do. Had a lawyer come out and be dunning me all the time.
Yeah.
Took me to court and never showed up.
Yeah, they even wanted your furniture.
So then, yeah, exactly right. So, that is what money. You wouldn't believe it. It's for having a DA meeting.
Yeah.
And I see a sheriff's car come by.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And two guys come up on my porch and knock on the door.
Yeah. We were just having an attitude adjustment meeting, and here comes the sheriff.
And then they said they were here to take an inventory of my furnishing.
Yeah.
So, oh, really? Well, who's the lawyer that put you up to this?
Right.
And I think I gave you a call. Do you want to wait here? No, here's his name. You called.
Right.
And they left.
They left, right.
Yeah. And that was the end of it.
And, why?
What?
Why did that dilute the situation?
Because they didn't have a search warrant.
Yeah.
All they had is a threat of their uniform.
That's right. It's all they had.
And they were intimidating. The purpose was to intimidate the hell of everything they did to try to get their money back.
Yeah.
You know, there's a corporate veil. There's a reason I filed and became a corporation back in 1988.
Yeah. The corporation was the one that borrowed the money from American Express.
Go get the corporation.
That corporation's dead.
I'm really sorry, but it's disappeared.
Yeah.
It has no account, no possessions, nothing.
That corporation went bankrupt.
Right. What are you going to collect?
Yeah.
So, and the challenge was to try to make me feel intimidated.
That's right.
Well, that's how a lot of it is, and it's interesting. Like, I don't know, I do a lot of the same shit. I'm like, I'm not paying that. People just are scared, and they think that's like nothing. And interestingly, a lot of it's just kind of gone away. I'm like, well, I'm fucking up.
So, not totally gone over the edge.
Yeah.
If you can see what the difference is between the corporation and yourself. They would like you to believe there's no difference.
Corporations are people, then.
I always find it a very entertaining juxtaposition. From disembodied euphoria to spirited political commentary. It's like, cool. While we have the time, we may as well enjoy it.
It's a drama playing out.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the very thing we're unplugging.
Yes.
In our perception of life.
Right.
And you have some characters that are taking it so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel like there's actually any characters, though, actually.
No, you don't know what the fuck's going on. That's why it's just kind of fun to, like,
including yourself. I have, that is my belief. I don't experience it all the time, but that is my belief, including myself. No, I'm not a character. No. I can't say that I experience that much, but but there's been a couple moments, and I think that that is actual, and the rest is not. Mm-hmm. You know?
You know, I wouldn't make trouble. You could make trouble. You know how you can invent things on the web? You just make up shit and put it on.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. circulate. What is available to circulate is finding a hidden agreement, a document between the government of the United States and Mexico, that there's an agreement to never close the border, to allow Mexicans to bleed into the country. And every president gets straight down about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bush was allowed to build a little piece of fence. Mm-hmm. They stopped him from shooting them. You know, they wonder why the Border Patrol doesn't nail him and stop it. Because they have to bleed through so that the overpopulation of Mexico, of the underprivileged, mm-hmm. and that they really lead a simple life. The ones that are coming over here.
It's an altruistic agreement.
What?
It's an altruistic agreement between the two countries.
Yeah, there's a hidden agreement so that
I thought that there's like a hidden alien influence or something. Well,
we haven't gotten to the aliens yet. We're still talking domestic politics. Wait for the alien. Yeah.
I've often thought of
that's probably what's actually going on, but that's not what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch you go crazy.
Oh, sure.
You just drive yourself insane being a human being in a world with all this
insane
shit, and like it's just clear that none of it lines up, none of it makes any sense, all contradictory.
Yep.
It's all bullshit. But in a magnificent way.
Right.
It's right. Entertaining. Pizza. It's like really bizarrely entertaining.
You're aware that there's a alignment of the planets and the heavens in September that's beyond any astrologer's capacity to interpret.
Do you know how many people are talking about this?
Really?
Oh, God, there's
this new alignment.
Channeling people, and it's just so funny.
No, it's a real
first there.
What are they referring to it as?
There's always some big event.
Oh, there's always a big event.
No.
Just around the corner.
This one's bigger. This one's going to be bigger. Yeah. Yeah. That's
2012.
Well, the fucking Mayans petered out, yeah. So we need...
That was
they didn't really peter out.
No, we just changed our story because it didn't look the way that we thought.
What
so
did those Mayans say?
Yeah.
It's occurring in September.
Oh, okay. So...
They lose.
And this event that's occurring
September
in September...
On my birthday?
What is your birthday?
The 13th.
Yeah, it's around there.
Of course.
A little later.
Between the 23rd and the 28th.
I'm like, come on,
give me something now.
What
are
happening?
Oh, the Pope's coming. Oh, shit.
Oh,
27th is the Pope, I think.
Oh, it's all coinciding with the Pope's visit to Philadelphia.
He'll probably get decapitated in Philadelphia.
Oh, God, I shudder to think.
Yeah. I would have gone to Pennsylvania if I was him. I would have killed.
So this is an astrological alignment.
Complexity beyond anybody's capacity to even
sweet.
Figure out what the hell's going on.
And this is within our so-called solar system?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
we're
going to
be gamma rayed.
Where could we read about this?
Well, it depends where you want to go. You know, you could go listen to some wacko channeler in Sedona, or you could go to astrology.
Catherine,
sure,
there's
lots of other
tell you where to go.
You can just Google search some weird shit.
Catherine.
So the predictions are financial collapse, upheaval, melting of ice caps.
Whole new energy coming in.
Oh, I like that
stuff.
Whole new
energy.
Oh, okay.
Whole new thing. Everybody's just going to wake the fuck up.
Nice. And have a website.
And have a website
to
tell everybody.
We'll all wake up and have a website to solicit other people into our thing, but everyone else will be awake, so they won't care. Commerce will come to a screeching halt.
Be aware if you have bodily sensations.
Yeah. That's right. It would be the proliferation of Enlightenment websites.
The Mayans understood the passage through the plane of the galaxy.
Uh-huh. Right.
They thought that that might be consequential, but it looks like it's taken a while. They were having passed through the plane of the galaxy.
Right, right.
There are enough other ships to realign.
I see, yes.
No different than the dinosaurs going out and all the ship calamities.
Yeah, that's right.
They have nothing to do with it.
No.
No, and apparently they were gamma rays. Who would have thought? Was it actually it's gamma rays?
What? There wasn't an asteroid?
There was gamma rays.
Oh. From an extra solar event. Coronal mass ejection?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
Any one of a number of possibilities.
Yeah, alien. Giant beam farting is coronal
I like
mass
that.
Ejection.
Yeah.
Methane.
Same. I have a question.
Giant entity some beans.
Anything to get us off this track.
Add a corona mass ejection.
Well, it's a...
Wait, we're waiting for Pat's question.
You know, I don't even know how to say it, so, but...
Please, just make it up.
If, in fact...
Yes.
There is, we're going to call it only this moment.
Right.
And in this moment
no.
is everything that might have ever happened.
Right.
Everything that might actually be happening.
Yeah.
And everything that might actually ever happen.
Yeah.
Not saying that any of that's true.
Right.
But if anything ever did happen, will happen, or is happening,
yeah.
it's here.
Here.
So.
Yeah.
How do you say that something's happening? If
yeah.
If the whole bowl of wax, boom.
Yeah. You don't.
You know what I mean?
You don't. Yeah, nothing's happening. That's why the fucking Tibetans are like, hey, nothing ever happened.
That's why you just no bullshit.
Yeah, not just the Tibetans.
Me too.
You know, I mean, people in the know.
Mm-hmm.
People in the know will go, nothing's happening.
Maybe that's why monks bow.
Yeah, monks bow a lot, which is just a way of saying, is something happening to you? I'm sorry. I'm sorry if something's happening to you, but nothing's happening to me. Really. I'm sorry for your loss if something's happening to you.
It's actually just another version of giving someone the finger.
So yeah, absolutely.
Of viewers. Right.
That's right.
You too.
Say you, say me. Well, you know, the poignancy of past, of present, of future, of occurrences, of inventory, of possibility. You see, all of these are conjured, right, as apparently... separable demarcations in imagination. Which is how the what we call the brain, who knows what it is, takes raw data, raw sensorium, and is able to create a three-dimensional, highly pixelated projection of objects outside yourself. That appear to have individuated durability, temporal durability. Yeah. And that you could come back to a room that you swear you've been in before certainly makes it feel like, yeah, this room's here when I'm not here.
Right.
And it's here when I come here. But it's not. Right? Because this room being here when you're not here, that's imagination. And we can't really prove whether it is or it isn't, because if you're not here, did the tree make a sound when it fell in the forest, you know, or does a bear wipe its ass with a squirrel? It's the same. So, what is it that's even present now that demands or insists upon our loyalty or fealty, that we're having a subjective experience of an objective world that's independent of us as a creature? That's fabricated. What we call brain, though who knows what it is, can juxtapose with raw, radiant information, data, and whoop, create, with no effort at all, the appearance of an independently existing three-dimensional temporal and spatial plenum other than you, outside of you, with which you can interact through choice, decision-making, discernment, locomotion.
Mm-hmm. you can tack meaning onto it.
And that upon which you can tack incredible amounts of meaning. That's right.
A life well lived.
That's right, yeah. You've got donkey tails pinned all over the place. Assigning meaning.
So the question now for me, like, we couldn't really say that there's actually a brain that is creating, or the mind that is creating from, let's say, the patterns.
Right.
Like, we don't really even know that.
No, we don't. We don't.
We just know we talk about a brain.
Yeah.
Or we think we talk about a brain.
Yeah.
And I mean, patterns.
The neurobiologists, to their credit, you know, would like to take spiritual gibberish off the table. Because if they do something physically to your brain, the quality of your experience can and will change, you know, dramatically. So then it appears as if the tangibility of what we call human conformist reality is dependent upon, right, the functioning of the brain. Because if you mess with the brain, all hell can break loose.
Well, that's what we're looking at in our culture.
Yes.
The drugs and the prescription.
Absolutely.
Coming up one after another.
Yeah. The vaccines.
I mean, there's no sane terms when a guy is pissed off somebody dissed him.
Yeah.
In a TV station.
Yeah.
He's going to kill a couple of people. That's not a normal functioning brain.
Yeah, no.
That's been totally abused.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yep. Microwave superheating of the police,
yes,
is being held responsible by some parties for aggressive militarization and homicidal mania. Yeah, because exposure to high density or even low energy microwaves heats up the tissue in girls, not women, but more in girls that are exposed to Wi-Fi in schools. There's plenty of evidence suggesting that it's interfering with their DNA, with their eggs, with their capacity to deliver healthy offspring. Mm.
Jeff, you're like the Alex Jones.
I'm like Alex Jones. I know. I want to be like some kind of enlightened Alex Jones. I'm not sure which will come first. But what?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. All right. I can give it up. I mean, you can go from point to point, you know, in so-called conspiracy or remarkable evidence to remarkable evidence. And, you know, what do we get to? This is, you know, one surreal experiment going on.
Yeah. And everybody's got a good point.
And everyone's got a good point. Yeah.
There's really nobody, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I feel like when I have my deepest moments, shall we say.
Yes.
Is I feel a profound aloneness.
Nice.
And yeah, that is, there is the benefit of others.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like,
yeah. Yeah, the aloneness, I mean, you know, is both delicious and, you know, maddening, right? Perplexing and very fascinating and curious. But the aloneness, of course, has to be a symptom of some remnant or remaining interest or investment in creaturehood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because alone has to be individuated to some degree for it to be alone.
It has to have a concept.
Yeah,
in it.
It has to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not putting anyone up or down or in between. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the geometry of this, you know, overwhelming sometimes aloneness, there has to be anthropomorphization for it to be felt as alone. There has to be some level of creature still brewing in the plenum of consciousness for it to be alone. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't suggest that a so-called awakened person would thrive in isolation. And yet, right, there's cultures of renunciates, but even amongst so many renunciate orders, they are together in their mm-hmm. renunciation.
Yeah, they're just making another band of weirdos anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's relatively few, you know, yogis and yoginis, depending on the culture, that go into extended isolation.
Well, I feel like, I mean, not that you can say anything about anything, but if I could report on my experience, it's like I was sort of turning that into something again in some way.
Uh-huh.
It was like another deferral mechanism.
Oh, yeah.
Of, like, there's other people and they don't get it, and I can't, I have to, like, stay separate from them in some way. But that's not the case at all. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you can make art with them in the whatever, in the whole mess of it all. And
sure.
It doesn't have to be like a total, like, no, I don't want to have anything to do with
right.
people.
Yeah. I mean, I can get, you know, easily bored primarily by myself, bored with myself, or certainly get bored of what we might call, you know, typical human chatter.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I've seen that happen to you.
Yeah, it's like...
Bullshit!
Yeah.
I mean, well...
Well, but it depends also, like, I don't... So this is more reporting, but I just am... All these bizarre experiences are coming back to where... and actually, a lot of times, you're the one that helps me see this. I'm taking it to be me hanging out with the person, and it seems really boring and kind of annoying, whatever's going on.
Right.
But I'm creating that, and then... The other way of seeing it is there's another way of seeing that, of feeling it come through. It's never actually about personhood. It's never actually about humanhood.
No.
That's the key. It's like it's never, I keep making it into that. I keep turning it into that and making it like simple and boring and stupid and these fucking people, you know, like this story that I'm creating.
Yeah. There is a...
There's something a lot stranger than that going on, like, all the time.
Well, always, yeah. There always has to be.
Even the words, the way you're interpreting the whole thing is...
Can we say, as a certain quality of consciousness becomes conscious, right? And that's an unfettered availability. That's truly a disembodied euphoria. Well, you'd be an idiot... not to want that to remain unperturbed. You know, you're like, oh my God, this is like the shit.
Well, it's like it's like having a great, like, orgasmic moment.
Absolutely.
Like, no. Someone's like, excuse me.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, you could say your natural inclination as a, you know, if you're biologic at all, is to just not be perturbed.
Hold.
You're like,
pause.
You know. Yeah, put everything on pause. I mean, any intelligent organism, whether it's single-celled or whatever, you know, they move toward and they move away from, right? Depending on incredible factors of nourishment or not nourishment. If you're grooving on disembodied euphoria, there's a quality of absolute unperturbedness in this awake, in this presence, in this awareness. It's not perturbed. And you like it.
Mm-hmm.
You hang. You immerse. You don't want to have to be, let's say, defending yourself, you know, against you as the worst idiot you know. Or someone else, it might be the worst idiot that you know. Really. So naturally, you know, you will withdraw from distraction, from distortion.
And that infers a preference to me.
Yes.
Which, I don't know. I don't know if there would be one, but I ain't going here and I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, it's like anything, you know, if you're hungry, you eat. You know, if you got to pee, you find a place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You might naturally, you know, not indulge in distortion. And that might mean removing yourself from a room, from a conversation, you know, from a movie, from whatever. Yeah.
Well, you end up fucking here, you know.
Yeah, you end up here, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I was like, thinking, I'm like, oh, the cute old people that rent the place out to me probably think I'm, like, going out.
Oh, she's got a date, honey. Look how nice she looks.
She's got a date.
Yeah, little do they know.
No, she just went to the children's room at Pebble Hill Church. She's going to the children's
room.
Like
it's room. Thursday night. Yeah. Like, they probably think I'm, like, I have a life.
It's like a PTA meeting.
Yeah. Well, for some odd reason, I just go to this weird group that's totally indescribable, and yeah.
That's right.
Here's another thing that I have wondered about, right? No idea. So, you can take up philosophies, various and many, and people believe them, and so then they see evidence of its veracity.
Yeah.
Well, how do I know that I am not believing this shit, and that's why I'm seeing evidence of its veracity?
Yeah. I love it.
Same thing, right?
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You are the only one that could know. You're alone. With right the nuance of your present experience, and whether it is hinged or unhinged, or whether it's the result of something or not.
But I could say the same thing at other times in other what would you say groups?
People do
that I've seen evidence that. I can't say proves the current belief, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like I felt things.
Sure.
You know, in church. And
you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe this is just more of that.
Time will tell. See you.
See you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Later, dude.
Time will tell.
You know, with the way it is, though, because it builds and builds and builds, everything that is behind you, you really forget it. It's like...
Yeah.
So I could say that it could be correct, and I could still... find it to be untrue. If you, based on progression.
There's no limit on how,
like,
this...
Nothing's happening. It's like, once again, nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Yeah, really. Once again, nothing happened. Nor
I thought something happened. It was really close. But actually...
That was my bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's my bad. I thought something happened. Once again, nothing happened, nor were
exactly.
You...
Exactly, I held on to something. Bam. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I just meant the way you're like flip-flopping like, around. That's like the, like, you think something happened and then like the next minute you're like, it's something else. And you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah, you can't hold on to anything.
No.
Is this cannabis?
No. I don't know what it is. I think.